Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Love Everything podcast via Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wang Liu. This is a very busy week for the Raptors with the draft and also free agency, tipping off on Sunday. And so joining me to discuss the rumors as of Monday. Right now it's 4:13 p.m. on July 26th is, in my opinion, a Raptors Twitter legend, one of my favorite follows online. You know her as Kate B. Doll, at Kate B. Doll. Kate, what's going on?
William, hello. That was such a nice welcome. Thank you so much. I'm not sure I'm legendary status. I'm just really sharing a bunch of nonsense. But yeah, that's pretty much my personal brand, William. I'm glad. Well, I don't know why I'm calling you William. It's so formal.
It is pretty formal. But no, that's
is that good. What your mother and father call you, William?
No, they strictly called me by my Chinese name, which I have never revealed on this podcast. Even though they gave me this name of William, like they were just like, they literally, I actually asked them once upon a time, like, how did you come about this name? And they're like, you know, we're watching this movie back in the day and like, you know, we were in China and we're like, that's not a bad name. This character has a good story. We'll just name you this character. And I was like, what movie is this? And it turns out it was Braveheart after some real digging. And I'm so, you know, I'm here just being named after 14th century Irish. Was the Irish independence? What was Braveheart?
Scottish.
My bad. Yeah. So my no, Scottish heritage.
Know your, yeah. Know your 17th century movie as well. I'm lucky enough to have quite a few friends who are, you know, kind of first generation Chinese with very similar stories to your own. So I think that's a common way to just kind of figure out what name they might give you as a pseudonym, but you know, yeah. I just think you should just give it up and go with your Chinese name. Why not?
I would want Stephen A. to follow me one day. And so, there are some benefits and some whatever, but no, I got very comfortable with it because they just gave me the name a long time ago. Basically, I was named the way the Raptors became a franchise and got their name. Just like whatever the hit movie was in like 1995, boom, that was it. So, I could have been named like Jurassic Park. I don't know. My parents didn't know English.
If we ever get a WNBA team, we have to keep that same energy and we just have to like go with what the popular movie is of the year and just name the team accordingly. Yeah. They'll probably be like the Toronto Avengers or something like that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah,
we're gonna end up with like a lawsuit from Marvel.
That's kind of hard though. The Toronto Avengers would be a pretty good. By the way, WNBA is reportedly thinking of expanding. I saw some report out there. Toronto is like one of the four candidates. Absolutely expand to Toronto. I don't care you have to deal with, oh, you know, the visa issues of crossing the border, all this other stuff.
No,
forget that. Toronto will have an incredible support base for women's basketball.
Incredible. Please, I've been wondering where they would play. Like, where do you think they would play? I mean, that's the only thing that I couldn't You think that they like just play at Scotia?
Listen, the Leafs have lost their right to play there. There's too many choke jobs. They got to play in Etobicoke. I know that place, like Lakeshore and Kipling-ish area.
Yeah, they
should play in that arena right there. I know a lot of fans in Etobicoke are Leafs fans, so they'll have no problem filling that arena. But their time slot should be just reserved. In fact, I don't want to see these videos of like the ice being removed, the boards being removed, some stanchion being removed. Like, I don't want to see that anymore. I just want to see a basketball court there permanently played by the Raptors and apparently the Toronto Avengers.
You know what? It actually would work too, because just the timing's always right with regards to like the overlap of the NBA and the WNBA season is very different.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, what's going on at Scotiabank Arena in the summertime? Like, not much. No. The space is owned by MLSE. Obviously, any WNBA team coming here is probably going to be backed by MLSE. Yeah,
of course.
So it actually works really well. Mm-hmm. They've already got the infrastructure. Let's go.
Yeah, there you
go. What are they waiting for, Will?
I don't know. I, you know, listen, if Toronto wants to be a first class city, why don't we have a WNBA team?
So it's time.
The Raptors. What a transition.
Oh, them.
Yeah, the Raptors. Oh, so, you know, look,
not there's much going on this week, Will.
There's not much going on this week, which is why there are rumors every single day about every single player, basically. We'll start with Ben Simmons, which has not been my favorite topic. I'm on record saying I don't like Ben Simmons on his contract. I like Ben Simmons. I halfway like Ben Simmons as a prospect. I'm basically giving the Bilbo Baggins speech about Ben Simmons right now. I like half of you, but I like half of Ben Simmons. But the contract is a big thing. So, but you know, the Raptors keep getting connected to them. Mark Stein mentioned it. Kevin O'Connor mentioned it. Shams mentioned it. So it doesn't seem like it's, I don't know, just being floated out there as smoke. Maybe there is some fire here. So I was mostly thinking about like, what's a Ben Simmons package that would be acceptable from a Raptor perspective that isn't like so outlandish to Philadelphia that they're just giving up Ben Simmons for free? Because Ben Simmons is not at the point in his career where it's not Andrew Wiggins, right? Well, Minnesota, where they were like, okay, we got to move this guy because, you know, he's just negative value. So I'll ask you, Kate, like what would you feel comfortable with in a Ben Simmons package?
Okay. I mean, this is the hard part, Will, in coming up with prospective offers for Ben Simmons is that, as you said, in a vacuum, I love Ben Simmons, you know, in a vacuum, would I like him on my team? Absolutely. But you've got $33 million of salary to contend with and creating a package to move around the pieces to put together $33 million worth of salary to, you know, to kind of swap. We've got a little bit of room on the cap that we could maybe kind of go a little bit over and send a little bit less back. But I mean, I'm not, you know, one trade that I think would make sense for Philly is, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but like Simmons for OG, but I'm not doing that. You know, if I'm Masai Ujiri, there's no sense in doing that type of trade. The only thing that I've really been able to come up with that makes sense with Toronto, unless we're starting to involve three-team trades, is the Kyle Lowry sign-in trade. Because anything else outside of that, I just don't see the pieces matching together and sending back. I've always thought that this smoke is coming as a result of Philly looking for some sort of three-team situation that makes sense to send out Simmons and receive Lowry.
Yeah.
I mean, like, have you come up with anything? I just haven't.
Well,
and considering what Philly wants, I mean, if we look at what they've turned down, if we look at what they've publicly turned down, it's something like Malcolm Brogdon in a first. Okay, yeah. So you know, we've got the equivalent of that, Fred VanVleet in a first. You know, they're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing Fred VanVleet in number four? Maybe, but does Toronto really want to do that?
That's too much.
That feels like too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you want about Ben Simmons. I really think his, would you swap him with Pascal? Like, why are we doing that?
I don't see that.
What's the benefit there?
Which, by the way, it would be pretty hilarious for the first pick in that draft to be swapped with the 27th pick. But nevertheless, trust the process, baby. Trust that process. Anyway. I wouldn't do Pascal for Ben Simmons. I think Pascal's a better player. They're on the same exact contract. I think Pascal's a more impactful player. We have evidence of this. They literally played head-to-head in a playoff series, and what we saw this year of Ben Simmons, like, being afraid to shoot that, not even shoot, dunk the ball in a game seven, mm-hmm. and having, like, I don't know, 5 points a game, that was what was happening in the Sixers series, like, 2 years ago. Well, I guess 3 years ago now. So, like, it's, you know, I'm just cool with that. I'm not doing that. I don't want to do Fred and a fourth for and four for Ben Simmons, because I don't think Philly would do that from the perspective of
no.
Like, they would probably evolve a third team and maybe try to, I don't know, get another piece for that four, because I think they're trying to win now. But, you know, from our perspective, that's just way too much. Kyle, in a signature for Ben Simmons, I would do. And it just feels like we're fleecing the Sixers. If they wouldn't even give us Maxi and Danny Green, God bless Danny Green. He could have got his ring. He's going to have to wait again. Mike Scott, which I actually wouldn't have minded, just so that he wouldn't play on the Raptors anymore. I want the Raptors to, like, cut Mike Scott out of the league. No offense to Mike Scott. He's just killed the Raptors so many times. But they wouldn't even do that for Kyle Lowry earlier, and they had a better chance.
Yeah.
You know, you would want Ben Simmons and Kyle, so I doubt the Sixers do that. So, I mean, I just don't really see the realistic trade here, unless, as you mentioned, it is some sort of three-team deal, in which case, you know, if you're giving up Pascal in some sort of trade and you're getting back Ben Simmons, you would need to get back Ben Simmons plus something else, because I wouldn't really do that heads up. So that plus would be coming from a third team, which I guess, you know, would be getting – I'm not totally sure what they'd be getting, quite honestly, in this three-team deal, but
yeah. To be honest with you, it's just really difficult to when you're looking at any trade, and this is always what I try to do, you always have to look at both sides of the coin, and mm-hmm. it's just extremely difficult to try and thread the needle right now with what Masai is trying to do, although do we really know what he's trying to do? Like,
we don't even know what he's doing
rumors
right
that are coming
now.
Where is he right now? Nobody knows. Yeah. Nobody knows. Where are those Ujiri watchers when you need them most? But yeah, it's just impossible to try and figure out what the intentions of all sides are, except for Daryl Morey. We know that he's always trying to Daryl Morey versus Masai Ujiri. It's like this ultimate warrior head to head where they're both always trying to win the trade. And I think that's really where Daryl kind of tripped up at the end of last season. I just keep coming back to the fact that if the Philly had Kyle Lowry's bird rights right now, it would fix everything for them.
Yep.
Everything that was a problem for them would be fixed just by owning Kyle Lowry's bird rights. And now, unfortunately, they need to try and come up with some sort of complex mechanism to either get their second star in Lillard or Beal, or try and get, you know, a Kyle Lowry or a Mike Conley or, you know, another floor general on the sign and trade market. And it's just, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Sounds as though Ben Simmons has stopped taking their phone calls too. That was another little report that came out this morning. So
not surprised. If there were more called me, I'd hang up.
Something's rotten in the state of Denmark or Philadelphia.
I mean,
look, I don't know, man.
It's I don't blame Ben Simmons for not taking their calls, but I also do. I don't know. I am concerned that Ben Simmons has been the same player since he's come to the mm-hmm. NBA. This is not like a situation where you look at Ben Simmons, you're like, well, he's, you know, just 25. He just turned 25 last week. Happy birthday, Ben Simmons. But you know, like he hasn't shown the ability to improve, I guess, in 4 years. So I'm not necessarily placing that. It's like, I don't think he comes to Toronto, for example, and his skill makes a jump. I think maybe in a different context where he's playing with different teammates, because obviously he's only played in Philly, largely with Embiid plus, you know, the rotating cast there. Maybe with different teammates, his numbers look different, but I don't know if his skill set is going to change just because he comes to Toronto. So.
And Simmons is like the ultimate enigma, you know?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
You're intoxicated by the idea of Ben Simmons. And I can really see the Raptors looking at that unique skill set, that 6'9", like switchable defense, ball handler, you know, 10 assists per game. and just saying, if we could put him,
I could fix him. That's how they say
at the four. Yeah, I can fix him. You know, falling in love, just kind of like, you know, just getting consumed with this idea that this can work. And I'm not saying, I'm not here to say that it can't work, but like you said, all available evidence just shows that, you know, right now for the last 4 years, we know who he's been. Now, with that being said, well, you know, you kind of think about the career Kyle Lowry had, and we can see that people change as they get older, as they mature, as they get into different situations where people believe in them. You know, and that's the part of me that still is like, oh, I don't really want to give up on this guy who's got so much talent that he hasn't even had to try for the last 4 years and still made, you know, number two in DPOY and is an all-star, you know, almost every year, and has been on all defense team almost every year since he's been in this league. You know, there's something about that, that you just don't want to give up the idea of Ben Simmons, because you've seen someone like Kyle Lowry, who did not have those gifts, who came into this league, who, you know, was shuttled around from place to place and landed with the Raptors. And, you know, what he really needed was a swift kick in the pants. He needed to mature a little bit. He needed, you know, a GM that was there that was going to say, you know what, we want you to be a cornerstone of this, but you have to show us. And so that's the part of me that's just like, well, if we got Ben Simmons for Kyle Lowry, I'd be pretty okay with that, I guess. We'll take the flyer on him.
I see that perspective. And I'm sure the Raptors showing interest would suggest that they at least have some belief in that as well in the front office.
Absolutely, yeah.
I interrupt this podcast to bring you breaking news from Woj. Memphis is trading JV, Jonas Valanciunas, number 17, and the 51st pick to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and the 10 and 40th pick, plus a protected 2022 first round pick from the Lakers.
That opens up a ton of cap space.
Yeah, I was gonna say this definitely brings up some cap space. Yep.
Okay, so JV 1751 for Bledsoe, Adams. And what are the picks that the 10 and what?
10 and 40. So they're paying.
Okay, so they basically open up with that move. They open up $19 million with a cap space.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They can sign Kyle Lowry down to $30 million contract without a problem.
Well, as long as they, yeah, if they can, if they, they'll have to relinquish their rights on both of their free agents, but they can.
Yeah.
Oh, that changes things.
That changes things, which brings us to the topic of Kyle Lowry once again. So reports are, well, this is not reports in terms of, not all reports are equal. This is not like a Woj Shams, you know, kind of report. Reports are from random people on the internet, I guess. Kyle's going to make 25 to 30 million, which not really a report so much as it's obvious. He's probably the best guard on the market. I guess Chris Paul, the ringless fraud, I guess, is technically going to be more valuable just because he's the head of the NBA President's Association. So he's just going to change the rules to make himself high paid regardless all time. But also being high paid means he's never going to have enough teammates to win a ring. So good for you, Chris. Anyway, Kyle Lowry, the actual champion, is obviously at least the top three guard on the market right now. He's going to make 25 to 30 mil.
He's number two. Like, would you put Conley ahead of him? I wouldn't.
No, I also don't really consider Conley like a free agent like that. Like, I feel like he's just going to resign in Utah.
Okay,
I
feel like so like here, got that down, here's the list of available point guards on the market. You've got Lowry, you got CP3, Conley, then all of a sudden you got Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, okay, enough.
Lonzo Ball, Derrick Rose, Goran Dragic, Reggie Jackson, and TJ McConnell.
Like, are we getting playoff list, Reggie Jackson? Because that. Yeah. That was quite the experience. I was pleasantly surprised every game.
Yeah, that was I don't know if that's one of those flash in the pan things never to be repeated. Let's see. Let's put a pin in Reggie Jackson. But I would say of that group, Kyle Lowry is the second best point guard by far, if not the best point guard. You know how I've been saying Lowry and CP3 are much closer than they are right now in their careers than maybe they were in the past.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I feel like this trade signifies that New Orleans is very serious about bringing in a big
throwing the bag at him.
And listen, if New Orleans wants Kyle, it's going to cost them $30 million. I would probably say 3 years, so $90 million. Which
100%.
If that is the case, and Kyle gets a guaranteed $90 million, his career earnings are going to be at $240 million for his career, which is wild. To put that into perspective, obviously different deals, whatever, different certain contexts and stuff like that. But Steve Nash, like 150 in his career, so that's another guy who broke onto his career late, the way Kyle did. So. Yeah, I mean, listen, New Orleans is, I guess, going to get Kyle Lowry. This is going to be weird. So Kyle and JV reunited. That's not terrible.
JV, wow. I keep going back to this. I can't believe this. This is crazy. What if JV gets sent to us? Oh, no, we can't do that. That doesn't work.
I mean,
sorry, I've got this three-team trade that I'm going to propose a little bit later on.
Okay.
This whole thing, this has gotten a little bit, now I'm going to have to sort of rework things a little bit, but I think it's still there. I don't know. Lowry has said, he said in the post deadline press conference after we all cried for him and thought he was leaving.
I was the last person to ask him a question. I was the last person at Raptors PR to ask a question. And I literally just thanked the guy. I was like, thank you for everything.
We all thanked you for that.
It's because very emotional.
Yeah,
I felt emotional just on a Zoom call.
I never thought I would get emotional over players like this, but like this quarantine, something happened to me in quarantine. I just became a shell of myself, and yeah, definitely shed some tears for Lowry that last day, and then 4 days later when Norm Powell wrote his love letter to Toronto. It was a sobbing mess. But he said in that post deadline press conference that money talks and years talk, We know this is what we know of Kyle Lowry of having him on our team for the last 8 years. It's no question in my mind that if the difference is, if you're asking, if Philly is saying, well, we can only afford 22, 23 million, and we're going to give you a partial guarantee on your third year, and meanwhile, New Orleans is willing to throw the bag at him, I know where he's going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, good for Kyle, honestly. I think it'll, if he can bring that team to the playoffs, he will get so much credit. And, I think we're past the point where Kyle doesn't get credit anymore. Like, I think people know this now, because I think Raptor fans, especially since the championship, have just been spamming people's replies with Kyle Lowry championship parade gifts. But
it's my favorite gift, my most often used.
It is pretty good, especially when engaging with Bucks fans. They can reply with their parade gifts, but it's like just a bus driving at like 80 miles per hour,
driving really fast.
Listen,
that man had somewhere to go. He had somewhere to be.
The place was the airport. They were going to the airport. Giannis was like slipping him like an extra 50 just to get him to drive faster.
That bus driver was like, he was like the guy on the TTC route who barely slowed us down at the TTC stop because he's like 5 minutes behind on his route. And he's like, nah.
please look, you I know you see me running for the bus. I know you don't drive away and look at me in the rear view.
That's who they had driving their bus, just a disgruntled TTC worker.
Yeah, so what were we saying? What were we talking about specifically?
Oh, Kyle. We were just talking about Kyle and the parade gif.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, Kyle and Yorons will be not bad, honestly. I think, especially if they keep JV.
I hate it.
Offensively, if you're telling me that it's going to be Kyle, whoever they're putting at two guard, I don't even care. Right? Let's say Nikhil for now. I don't think he's starting caliber just yet. But if it's Kyle, Ingram, Zion, and JV, that's a lot of offense. How do they play defense? I don't know, because Kyle's going to have to be the rim protector, taking 18 charges per game. But that would be, damn, that's not terrible. They can make the playoffs.
Some form of a sign and trade would be helpful. I don't know. I'm going to have to run the numbers to see what they've done here. I think that there's still, it depends on what they're doing with, if they're just willing to let Lonzo Ball walk, or if they're going to work out some sort of sign and trade. Like there's details there that sort of need to be worked out to see if they really can just sort of sign Lowry into cap space. Because the issue with dealing with cap space, especially for a team like New Orleans, is once you're dealing with cap space, it really limits your flexibility in terms of, some of the exceptions that you're able to offer to sign to sign players. So
like hard it's capped. Still,
well, you operating as a cap team while being hard capped is still going to give you more flexibility than operating as a cap team. Yeah, so, you know, you're still not paying the tax in those cases, but you just got more to play with. So I'm just going to have to take a look at it. I'm still going to be surprised if a team that really legitimately wants to contend and wants to sort of put something together. I'm going to be surprised if a team like that is going to be operating as a cap room team. It's generally not a good idea. So if we got, you know, if Masai could somehow still wrestle something out of New Orleans, I wouldn't be too upset. Give me Nikhil Alexander-Walker. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, I know I just said Nikhil's not starting caliber, but welcome home, Nikhil.
Come home to the North.
Listen,
we would give you a hero's definitely welcome.
Starting caliber. No, I'm kidding.
Like, just get the Wiggins rumors out of my face, and let's start to talk about some Canadians that actually want on the team. Yeah, there's a whole list of them, you know?
Yeah, listen, Nikhil, Shea, you know, let's just start
Jamal,
yeah. You know, Jamal's locked down. That's real. Denver's not giving up Jamal for a while. But you never know, man.
So is Shea, like, realistically. But, well, I know.
I mean, you know, if Sam Presti sees two more, you know, draft picks, you might just
I've been joking about it, and people are saying that it's crazy that a 23-year-old wouldn't be on the right timeline, but I can see them, you know, yeah. Sam Presti just getting Wemby eyes, you know, for 2023. He's like, I must have this unicorn from France who's 7 feet tall and shoots like he's KD at the age of 17.
Yeah, look, there's a preschooler in Vaughan that Sam Presti has reserved a draft pick for already. They don't even know it yet, but they've already been drafted to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They'll be playing for the OKC Blue or whatever their G League affiliate is.
Oh my God, Sam Presti has a problem, man. He should be on Hoarders Buried Alive.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, it should be like a Storage Wars episode where you like just open up their cap sheet and you're like, oh my God, what's this doing here? You got a Memphis 2030 second round pick, top 55 protected. Yeah. Like, what is
that? the protections and the swaps, like, sort of explanation is like 2 pages long. You need like a five page dissertation on exactly how and when this pick can be used, and it's like the second round draft pick in 2030. Like, they've just got so there, it's just so complicated what they're doing with everything. Like, at some point Sam Presti's gonna be out of there and some guy's gonna come in and he's like, what do I do with all this? Like, yeah. What do we actually have? I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah, Sam Presti is like a really great ad for, you know, those clear glasses that make you just look smarter, no matter like if you're smart or not. If you're wearing like clear, like thick rim glasses, it just makes you look smarter.
Yeah.
And Sam Presti is a good ad for that. Not saying that he's not smart, it's just that he's definitely not a genius level operator like some people make him out to be. Jared Allen. Okay, so there's a report that the Raptors are interested in Jared Allen's scrum shams. Apparently the Raptors have tried to trade for him in the past. He's restricted free agent with Cleveland. Do you buy this as genuine interest in terms of the Raptors have this money and they plan to offer this to Jarrett? Or do you feel like this is some sort of play, I guess, because Cleveland is in the third pick right above Toronto and maybe they have plans for Jared Allen and maybe they choose to use their draft pick in accordance to whether Jarrett's there or not, let's say with
Morgan
or Suggs?
I struggle with this one. Well, I don't really see it, to be honest with you. Like, I did a yesterday, sort of like this was a topic on the timeline, you know, would you rather Holmes? Would you rather Allen? I've never really been totally sold on either of them. I think if we were to go for one of them, I would prefer Allen. And it's just the age is like the only factor that makes me go that direction. You know, Jared
Allen
is just young.
Way better of a defender.
He's 23. Yeah, he's a better defender. You know, they have Rashawn Holmes and Jared Allen have very similar profiles in terms of just being kind of a more old school center that can't really shoot the three, you know. And then I started today doing an even deeper dive into Jared Allen, and just, you know, after you sent me over the outline, I just wanted to take a quick look at it. And I don't know, I don't know. Here's what it came down to. Jared Allen and his age 23 season, which is this 2021, 2020-2021 season, mm-hmm. his stats are bang on JV's 2015-2016 season.
Okay.
So they're about a year apart. They both, it's crazy. They both played 60 games, started, you know, Jarrett started 45, JV started 59. They both scored 12.8 points, bang on. Jarrett's a bit better with the assists. He's got 2 assists to JV's 1. Steals and blocks are the same, about half a steal a game, 1.5 blocks. Jarrett's a little bit better there. And then both are equally horrible with the 3. You know, JV shot 0 threes. Jarrett shot, you know, 8 threes. Well, he made 8 threes. He shot 36. He shoots about half 3 per game. And, you know, their rebounds are the same at about 10. So, like, they're, if you just look at the, like, the high-level stats, they're extremely similar to one another. If you remember that year, we gave JV 4 for 64, $16 million a year. Mm-hmm. If you look at what Jared Allen is projected at this year, somewhere between, you know, some people, I've seen some projections as low as $16 million. I've seen some as high as, you know, $20 million. I think, you know, if you take the midpoint there, you're looking at 4 years, you know, $77 million, about $17 million a year. Like, you know, do I want to use $17 million on JV when, you know, we saw that JV couldn't really get over the hump? I'm not great at projecting the future of these guys. I'll be honest with you, Will. I like Jared Allen. If we were to go that direction, I don't think it's a bad use of the asset, of the space, but I do think that there are some people that I think I would rather target instead.
Is it like, okay, who would you rather target instead?
Miles Turner.
Okay. Why?
He's just got that defense and that rim protection dialed up an extra level. And he can shoot the 3.
Yeah. No.
I'm just wondering if he'd be more switchable. I mean,
either player is like super switchable. No, I think honestly between the two players, it depends on the contract. But I think I would prefer Jared Allen, mostly because I have my concerns with Miles Turner and his rebounding. I understand that his rebounding numbers could be low because he's playing with Sabonis, which obviously Sabonis is a very good rebounder. But I also just don't know. I'm concerned with the rebounding portion of it. I think Miles Turner, his projection is like if you wanted a Brook Lopez type, which is fine. I think you could definitely win with the Brook Lopez type. Obviously, the Bucks literally just won with Brook Lopez doing what he's doing. It's just, would I enjoy watching Brook Lopez on a nightly basis? Clanking threes, okay, not being very aggressive offensively. Like
so it sounds like you're on the Jared Allen side of things. So give me the pitch on Jared Allen.
Jared Allen does things that I feel like are more bankable for me. Like I think rebounding is an issue with the Raptors.
Huge.
So I think that addresses a bigger weakness. They're both pretty good rim protectors. I don't really know if there's that big of a difference. I know that, for example, like we saw Jared Allen pretty closely when we saw that Raptors Nets series, and whatever, Raptors were way better than the Nets. Obviously the Raptors destroyed the Nets because they were playing Chris Jones or whatever. But like, you know, Jared Allen was a pretty effective defender. He did a pretty good job guarding Pascal, for example. And of course, bubble Pascal is a whole different topic, but still did a pretty decent job. He's a decent defender. Mostly he's going to roll to the rim. And I think really the question comes down to, do you value pressure on the rim versus more space in the perimeter? And I actually do think the Raptors, especially in this current like group, assuming Gary's going to be re-signed at shooting guard, Kyle's going to be gone in New Orleans randomly, eating beignets. That I think I would value more rim pressure than 3-point pressure because, you know, I think there's just not that much of an ability right now to run pick and roll and create downhill pressure. Like, for example, with Fred would probably work a lot better with a guy who can really attack the basket, a threat to, you know, lob finish, rather than another guy who can pick and pop. Because if you're going to pick and pop, maybe there's a switch, maybe Fred's going to attack ISO. That's not going to create a lot of great scoring. But if you can get someone who's actually a threat to go to the basket and pull one or two defenders to the rim, then I just think that that's a little bit more valuable for this group than more spacing from the 5 position.
The challenges that I have with sort of any center, traditional center, even a pick and pop guy, is, you know, we've seen what a Kyle Lowry can do for a guy like that. And if I knew we were having Kyle Lowry back, any of these options is a no-brainer.
Sure, yeah.
My question is just, you know, can we get Fred to get his game to a point where he's that guy, that he's able to run those sort of, you know, kind of two-man games with a center? And I don't know if that's Fred's forte.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to have to be. Yeah, listen, Fred catches a lot of heat on the timeline. Why am I seeing Fred slander every single day?
No, I love Fred. Like, don't get me wrong.
Not from
like,
you. Not from you. But
that's not a dig against Fred. Like, Fred's great at what Fred's great at. I just haven't seen him, you know, kind of, it's not the pick and roll master that we're used to Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
No, who is? Like, it's just, it's an impossible game of comparison.
Yeah. I was writing a story about, I got bored of draft stuff. So I started writing about Malachi and just like reviewing his season. And I was like, you know, one of the things Malachi can improve on is finishing at the rim. You know, he's a small guard. So I had to look up the numbers. And I was like, okay, yeah, 51%. I was like, that's not good, but it's not terrible. And I was like, let me compare it to the other guards. And I was like, I looked up Kyle and he was like 56%. And I looked up Fred. It was literally like 39%. And I was like, okay, the rim has a backboard. You're shooting from like a foot away. I understand you're short. Mm-hmm. That's tough. That's really, really low. So, I mean, it is what it is. But he does other things really well. I also think that the fit for a guy who can pressure the rim really does help for Pascal as well. Because I think a lot of the times he's getting doubled by another big. And the kick out for threes and stuff like that is fine. But I do feel like Pascal has a really good interior passing game that we haven't seen that much since him and Jakob Poeltl kind of played together. And Jared Allen will kind of be like a really good Jakob Poeltl.
I was excited, like, you know, before all this went down, and you know, one of my trades, you know, one of my possibilities was sending back Steven Adams. I mean, that was if there was a, and I was interested to know kind of what that fit would look like. I'm not huge on Steven Adams by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, Jared Allen's like a younger, more spry spring chicken Steven Adams. So I don't know. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it. Well, I don't know if there's any center that's available on the market that's really going to be a game changer for us at this point.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, you could go for a cheaper short-term alternative, like Kelly Olynyk probably won't cost you as much. Cam Birch, for example, won't cost you as much. The thing is, you're going to have to do that like every year. You're going to have to, like, every single year, you're going to have to, like, find some patchwork guy, come in. And if it doesn't work out, you're just kind of having a repeat of the Tampa season in terms of their weaknesses at center. So there is some value in the long-term thing. It's just the tricky thing with restricted free agents is always, if you really, really want them, you're going to have to pay a big premium to get them. Because if you're just paying what, I guess, something that's more like market value for that skill set, the team is most likely just going to match. Right.
And that's right. I mean, like,
so
Cleveland can't really afford much beyond, unless they move Kevin Love, like they can't really afford much beyond $18 million at this point. So, you know, West Toronto have to increase that by to get it done, like $22 million for Jared Allen.
Yeah. I mean, I would, if they paid 22, I would be kind of okay with it, but yeah. I don't know. It's not that sexy. I do agree in that front. But I mean, he would solve a lot of things for the team. I think he brings a skill set that is valuable. And you know, you might not necessarily have to give up an asset the way you would if you had to trade for Miles Turner, for example, which I would be okay with Miles Turner too. I just think that I prefer the different style that Allen brings. But he's
skeptical, fine. But I'm willing to go with it. If, you know, Masai and Bobby choose that that's the direction of going, you know, I'll give it an option. I'll give it some time.
Yeah. See, this is the thing.
I do think he's got potential too. Like, he's only 23. He's exactly. 23.
And if Ben Simmons is only 25, like, Jared Allen is only 23. And Jared Allen shoots better than Ben Simmons.
That's why I sold myself on it over Rashawn Holmes. Like, Rashawn Holmes is 28 this year. you know, that's a 5-year gap between them, and they're doing about the same thing this year in terms of output. So, you know, for Jared Allen to take a risk on him at 23, you know, I just think that there's a lot that we can do with a guy like that at 23. So I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much it for in terms of free agents and things like that, or trade assets. I think really the focus is still on the draft, and there's been quite a lot of noise around the draft. So,
well, before we get to the draft, kind of the one thing that I was thinking that might work as a three team, and I don't know if this really does work, but you've heard the noise about Cleveland being interested in Ben Simmons, and also that the Pacers have been interested in Ben Simmons. So, and this would work in either direction. So, you know, some sort of three team scenario where Kyle goes to Philly, we get either Jared Allen or Miles Turner, and then Simmons goes to the team, you know, kind of the team intermediary. And there probably would need to be some extra pieces maybe flowing one way or another. I'm not sure. I haven't really worked out all the details, but it's bizarre to see, you know, kind of a three team trade in basically a division. So from that perspective, I think it's unlikely. But I think that there is some interesting fits there in the three, kind of in either of those directions.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that really. I mean, really, it's on Kyle right now. Like, if he wants to go wherever, like, it's still really the ball's in his court. Like, if he wants to go to New Orleans, Raptors not getting anything from New Orleans, probably. Like, most likely. Or nothing really substantive. But if he wants to go to other places, sign and trade's more on the table. So,
yeah, I think there's some places that seem more unlikely, especially at the $30 million mark. Like, I'm not sure how Miami really makes that work, to be honest with you.
No, they're not.
And it's very difficult. It's just, I don't know, it just becomes the higher the asking price, the more difficult it's going to be for Philly and for Miami to get involved.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway,
good. Well, listen, I mean, New Orleans doesn't really pose a threat to Toronto, so I actually kind of don't hate that.
Well, so, you know, today, and I mean, if he's got to go somewhere, I would love to see him with Zion, like unlocking Zion. I just think that'd be so fun. And Zion,
that's a beefy team outside of Brandon Ingram, who's like,
man, thicker than a snicker. Like, it's just that's going to be like a team with some size. You're not going to want to go up against those guys.
Yeah.
No, Kyle really brings like that defensive minded sense as well that they've, I think, been missing, that real floor general or leader.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not Lonzo, man. Like, it just isn't.
Lonzo has some really good strengths in terms of open court play, pretty good passer, but outside of like really establishing a quick pace, Kyle brings a lot more.
Well, we've seen how Kyle can push the floor like that too, and he does.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he also can throw, you know, do a pull-up three in your eyeball.
Yeah.
In the middle of the fourth quarter when you really need the tides to change. So I just think that would be a kind of an inspired choice for the Pelicans, but we'll see if he wants to go there, man.
Yeah.
But New Orleans is a great city. Like, it's a great place to spend a year or two.
Do they have golf?
I don't know. I'm not a golfer. Right, yeah, do it real quick.
This is what people come to the podcast for. New Orleans golf. There seems to be a bunch of golf courses by the water. There you go. Yeah, I'm sure Kyle will be fine, honestly. This is probably what Kyle Lowry is doing right now. Me and Kyle are the only two people searching New Orleans golf at the moment. So in terms of the draft,
Yeah.
Well, first off, actually, I'll start with this because I've seen you jump from player to player and
make
official announcements as to who you want for the Raptors at 4. Where are you officially right now, Monday, July 26th at 4:56 p.m.
I've been trying to really, you know, spread my love around to all the draft picks. I love them all equally. But currently, as it stands today, this is a controversial choice. I get lit up on the timeline for it every day. As it stands at 4:56 p.m. on July 26, 2001, I am firmly on board the Scotty Barnes bandwagon. Again, a controversial choice. But in sort of looking at Scotty Barnes, at what he might bring to a team, I see some potential there. And if Masai's really been sold on this guy's ability to develop a shot, he's basically he's a 6'9", 220-pound forward with great ball handling, court vision, passing, 7'3" wingspan, and, he's got Kawhi Leonard hands, like 10-inch hands, like 10, 11-inch hands, like the size of Kawhi Leonard. This guy is just sort of like the size, the length that we know that Masai just loves to draft with more refined ball handling skills. Now, the offense isn't there. I'll admit that freely. But if Masai and Bobby think that can come, and by all accounts, he's just been crushing his workouts. He crushed, the combine. If they feel like that it can get there, I don't see that being a surprise pick at 4 for us, or even moving back, to 5 and maybe getting a future first. That's where I stand today.
Okay. Subject to change, which it has changed.
Daily, basically.
Yeah. I honestly hear you with the Barnes thing. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of, especially if you're looking at potential down the line, it's always easier to imagine guys who are bigger to have more potential. And I think his skill set is pretty unique to be able to handle the ball at that size, which is good. Which, although I do have an issue with when people are trying to sell, I'm not saying you, but like when people, especially the draft experts, go on and try to sell specific players great players or whatever, when they start describing the player like a realtor will be describing a house.
Correct. I know what you're saying. No, it's into the combine measurements, and that's not really the best way to evaluate a talent, for sure.
Yeah.
I think where I kept coming back to too is I know Masai is always looking for that number one. Like, he's looking for the number one.
Yeah.
Who can be your number one of your future? Yeah. He really is looking for that number one. And I saw a post on, I don't know, Twitter or somewhere. And it just basically showed the last 4 finals MVPs. And if you look at who those people are, it's extremely difficult to have a point guard really truly be your number one guy. And maybe it's not possible to get a number one guy at 4 in this year's draft. And maybe Jalen Suggs, therefore, is the best of the options. But if there's a guy that looks like he might have the potential to be a number one guy of the future, I think it's a guy that's more skewed towards the Scotty Barneses or maybe the Jonathan Kumingos, although I don't quite see it there for him. Maybe definitely towards the Evan Mobleys. In that range, that's probably going to be more likely to be your number one option. If history just shows us who tends to be the number one option on championship teams, than a 6'3", 6'4" point guard.
That's fair. And yeah. I think that's true. However, I think this is the thing. The Raptors drafting a guy at 4 is the biggest question you got to ask yourself is, how good is this player going to be? And how is he going to be in our program? That's obviously going to be asked of all the players. I think the other thing you do have to keep in the back of your mind is, like, how much can we potentially flip this guy for in the future? And that's not something you would say immediately for someone who's a 4th pick. But let's be real. 4th picks get moved. You look at the last few 4th picks. Dragan Bender was there. Josh Jackson was there. Which, by the way, back-to-back 4th overall picks for Phoenix in 2016 and 2017 being those two guys is very tough. Very tough. I don't know how they got to the finals doing that. But, I'm not saying that those are the common 4th picks, but like there's a range of possibilities that's within that range. So you have to think about sort of which guys can retain their value. And I do think that like Suggs has a much better chance of just like in a year from now, can you get the equivalent of a 4th pick for Jalen Suggs? I feel like that's more likely to me than Scotty Barnes being able to do that, because Scotty either starts to shoot really well, or at least catch and shoot threes, in addition to the fact that his handle plays, but is basically goes from a 0 on offense to like at least a 1 on offense in terms of three level scores.
What's this on the scale? Oh, okay. On a scale of 1 to 3.
Well, I mean, you know how people talk about the three-level score or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, Kawhi. If he can get to one, if he can score a one level, then I think his value can stay around four. But mm-hmm. if he doesn't shoot right away, then all of a sudden you're just looking at another one of these big wings that has great size, but doesn't necessarily have the scoring skill set. And I don't think at that point you can get a lot for a player like that. I mean, I'm not
big wings who shall not be named, aka Stanley Johnson.
We got to get Stanley's measurements. We got to ask the realtor for Stanley's measurements.
He's about 6'7", 6'8". I don't know about the wingspan and all the rest of it. Look, I don't disagree with you. Mm-hmm. And I really like Suggs too. In fact, you know, I was firmly on board the Suggs bandwagon for as longer than I've been on any pick bandwagon because, right. you know, I was really just trying to throw my support behind the likely candidate for number four pick. But the more I just sort of started looking at this and looking at the trends of Masai in the draft, now he's a best pick available guy. Mm-hmm. But we heard in that war room from what was the Giannis draft? 2011?
I think 2013.
2013. We heard in the war room the way that they talk about it. It's mm-hmm. will this guy be better in 2 years than, you know, this other guy, what we might give up for him. I think in that specific instance, it was, you know, the pick that we're giving up in 2 years is not going to be the guys that we'd be able to draft in 2 years. It's worth giving up that guy for where this other guy is going to be in 2 years. And that guy was Giannis. And, you know, so if someone's going to take, you know, the opinion of his scouts and the development curve of where they think some of these guys might be, it's going to be Masai. So I don't disagree with you. I think Suggs is definitely the sure thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we took him, I'd be perfectly happy with that. And you know, put my full support behind Jalen Suggs to Toronto and be on board the Suggs bandwagon. But at the same time, I just simply would not be surprised if we go in a different direction.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, I think one thing that does help is one of the commonalities that the Raptors have had in the draft is that, I mean, yes, they do value guys who are longer and athletic and guards multiple positions. I think generally speaking, this is probably all teams in the NBA have similar preferences. I think mm-hmm. in terms of what the Raptors have shown is also that they really value players that have put up good numbers in college and not necessarily like good numbers, like box score numbers. Like we're not talking about like, I don't know, man. I guess I don't really watch college like that, but we're mostly like the advanced numbers and what they suggest. Like, for example, Malachi Flynn at 29 was very much the advanced statistics pick for last year's draft. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, when you're picking later in the draft, probably some of these things there are advantages to be gleaned because people take more swings earlier in the draft, especially in that like 6 to 14 range. People will just take random swings on guys on upside and hope they fall. But there is probably more value to be had in taking a high stats guy, I guess, like later in the draft, especially in the first round, which is where the Raptors mm-hmm. been picking. But I do think that, like, if you look at it statistically, I think like Suggs is would be, in terms of advanced stats, a more well-rated prospect. That's probably not yeah. the same approach they'll take to the fourth pick, but I think it'll be at least one of the factors. They'll be looking at that IBM Watson machine and stuff, which is
yeah.
real freaky, man. How much do they look at that? Did they bring that to Tampa? Like,
I mean, I don't really know if they what the server farm looks like that's backing up our analytics database for shooting and all the rest of it. Hey, by the way, speaking of, like, you know, kind of freaky IBM Watson, did you see at the Tokyo Olympics, they've got a 7-foot automaton robot that can shoot a 3-pointer from sort of anywhere on the court?
I saw that. That was something to watch, honestly. I think
I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable.
You know, like, I am sensitive to Asian stereotyping, but like, this feels like somehow prototypically Japanese.
You think so? I mean, there's robots are just all the rage now. That dog robot that's like that new police dog robot that you see all over the place. Like, it's awful. And I just think that this is just the next phase. Anyway, Anything else? Any other draft rumor? Like, do you have any thoughts about our second round picks? What are we going to be doing with those?
You know, who has thoughts on the second round picks? I mean,
not me.
Yeah, I'm just going to, when they take those picks, I'm just going to say that was brilliant. Quite honestly, the fact that what was brilliant was the Raptors got those for Matt Thomas and Terrence Davis. Terrence Davis, who was, you know, not someone that the Raptors should have had in the organization anyway, especially after the allegations came out. But a guy who had no future in Toronto, apparently he's asking for $9 million a year. You know, okay. And then Matt Thomas, who, like, is he even going to be in the NBA next year? I don't know why Utah just gave up. Like, it's not horrible. It's not like a 55 pick or something like that. Like, you know, mid-40s, you can get something. Like, Norm was a mid-40s guy, like, whatever. So that was the brilliant part. Whatever else they do with that pick, I don't even know. Because the thing is, the washout rate for second-round picks is just so high. Like, it's just like, like, look at the last two the Raptors had. Jalen Harris was a unique situation, but he's not going to be with the team. The year before that, DeJuan Hernandez, right? So, like, if you look at the history of the Raptors' second-round picks, like, the two that have hit the biggest are PJ Tucker, who realistically hit way, way, way after he was drafted, because he only played, like, 30 games and then went to the G League and then went to Europe for a few years.
And Norman.
Norm. And then, honestly, after that, it's like Quincy Acey. So,
well, like, if we can trade up, like, if we could somehow get up into the late first, I'm having a hard time seeing the Raptors picking three rookies. Like, when was the last time we had three rookies?
It was Pascal, Poeltl, and
okay.
No, I guess, was Poeltl a rookie at the same time?
And, yes, it was pick 9, pick 27.
Great. I mean, that was a generation.
And one was undrafted. Generational draft.
Seriously.
Movement by Masai there is incredible. But three contributors to the championship team in one way or the other. It's not really a Masai move, is it, to take 2 second rounder? Like, what are we going to do with them?
I wouldn't
be surprised if we try and package them up, move them to a team that's a contender that's kind of capped out and can't afford their first round pick. There's a couple of those, you know, like the Utah, sure. Brooklyn, they need to make cap space.
Maybe we'll stash. So, maybe we only take one of them and then we stash
one,
like a draft and stash guy. It's been a while since the Raptors had a draft and stash guy.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Yeah.
You're right, though. Who cares for the second
round? Bruno was a draft and stash guy. He was just a first rounder.
Stashed on our team.
He was stashed in Toronto.
There's a really interesting thread that I saw on Twitter the other day of one of Bruno Caboclo's teammates at the time in Brazil. Did you see this thread?
No.
You should read it. I tweeted it out. It basically kind of said that Masai Ujiri had gone down to meet with Bruno Caboclo like early in the year.
Okay.
And then maybe there was some little under the table agreement that Bruno would stop actually playing for his club so nobody else could scout him because Masai was on a bit of a heater coming off of missing Giannis.
Oh my god.
So
that's
Well,
a amazing move by Masai. I think that is just
legendary.
Legendary stuff right there. But also, maybe he should have just seen him play more, a little bit more.
That's actually what I was going to say. It ended up backtracking on him because, you know, he couldn't really see what the guy was after all. You know, maybe he had a great game when he went down there to watch him. But it would have been helpful to have more data points.
I was going to say, how did Masai even know about Bruno? This guy was averaging 5 points.
I'm telling you.
In Sao Paulo. So.
Well, Blake Murphy knew about Bruno, so.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Legends never die.
I was going to say,
they never rest.
Blake and Masai somehow winners with the Bruno draft, even though nobody was a winner at the Bruno draft. Although, to be honest, though, Bruno gave us some really good moments.
Bruno was a winner of the Bruno draft, let's be honest. Bruno was a nice man.
He is a nice guy.
And he made some money for himself.
I was going to say, like, you know, I ran into Bruno, I think once, I didn't talk to him, but like I ran into Bruno, I think on Queen Street and he was there like with his girlfriend and their kid and stuff.
So. Yeah. I never gave up on Bruno. It just feels like he didn't have the drive. You know, it just sometimes it's that way, you know, you've got all the skills in the world and, you know, he is maybe Ben Simmons in that way. He got to the league and that was that. That was good for him.
What are the chances Scotty Barnes is Bruno? Well, is there like a 5% chance? Like, I feel like,
okay. I mean, by all accounts, Scotty Barnes is like all these guys are gym rats though now. Like they grew up in this culture where they're just constantly,
they grew up as Americans.
You know, the grind is the grind culture.
Yeah, it's true.
Constantly grinding. Anyway, that's the other thing about Scotty Barnes you hear a lot is his temperament, nobody has a bad word to say about him. He's just like beloved by teammates, coaches, alike. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of these guys are that way. You hear that about Suggs too. So again, I don't think we can go wrong with them. I think if Scotty Barnes hits, he could be the best player of the draft, but you're probably not going wrong with Jalen Suggs.
Yeah. I mean, look, Scotty, I mean, the comparison I made was just like, just take OG, but like replace his 3-point shooting with ball handling instead, which is like, if we could fuse the two of them, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. We really need to combine them together, like twins.
Having two OGs is not terrible.
No. Can you imagine the nightmare on defense? Yeah. This is why I was really hoping for, I mean, the pipe dream, which was Evan Mobley. It's just like the defensive front court of OG, Pascal, and Mobley, like just crushes team souls, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Listen, if he dropped a 4, I would not mind, but he won't. Unlikely.
He won't. It's not likely. I don't think. We think we just need to push that dream aside, unless Masai manages to move up in the draft.
Yeah. Only other two pieces of speculation that are relevant. Jonathan Givony said that the Raptors are seen as the best developmental situation out of the top 10, which is nice, and it's true. Also a bit of a weird compliment because nobody in the bottom 10 is necessarily that attractive. I guess Golden State, but they're really going to move their picks, so you're not even going to go there.
Like, seen by who?
I don't know.
Is that just general?
Probably agents and stuff. Because look, the one thing the Raptors have done a really good job of is developing guys and then paying them. So that's something the agents can actually take back to their clients. The other thing is Jalen Suggs has apparently not worked out for Houston or Detroit. I mean, there's a few more days here. He could make a last minute workout happen, I guess. But, is that relevant?
I think part of that. Relevant?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's relevant so much. I mean, so the thing that you got to understand is Mobley's agent and Suggs' agent are the same agent. Mm. And it doesn't sound as though Mobley has worked out with too many clubs either. Okay. I think where Houston really shot themselves in the foot potentially is if they wanted to see these guys, maybe they shouldn't have made their intentions with Jalen Green so clear, because it sounds as though Mobley hasn't worked out for anybody except for Cleveland from like the bits and pieces. You sort of have to put all these reports together, but the bits and pieces I've heard, the only one that we've got confirmation that they've worked out with, and even that's not confirmation, but it's sort of implicit confirmation, is Cleveland. And then, you've got Suggs, you get these reports coming out of both Houston and Detroit saying that they want to work out Suggs, and he hasn't made an appointment with them, for lack of a better word. So, I think that's sort of where maybe you shouldn't put your intentions on blast. If you want some of these guys, kind of to get a good look at all four of the top four guys. The Raptors camp has been quiet, which isn't surprising. So it's difficult to say kind of what's going on there, but
No, you should be like the Raptors. You should see all these reports are suddenly coming out the Raptors. So the possibilities are that the Raptors don't see this as a consensus top four draft, which, whether that's true or not, it's definitely more advantageous to give off that impression to other teams. The Raptors could trade up, or they've explored trading down, which again creates more uncertainty. These are every single thing is a possibility with the Raptors, So
yeah, that's the way to play it. That, if you looked at, I don't know if there's any way to ever find this, but I'm sure the Raptors have sort of worked out more guys in that top 10 than Houston than Houston or Detroit, just because Houston and Detroit really just kind of zeroed in on their guys almost on day one. And everybody seemed, everybody and their brother seemed to know that Jalen Green was going to, and everybody and their brother knew that Cade Cunningham.
I think he was on an IG live with Kevin Porter Jr. and I think he just said it.
Yeah, no, Kevin Porter Jr. kind of implied it. He was like, don't say too much, Brody. Like, we're, you know, but, tampering or something. And it's just like, did they really tell Kevin Porter Jr.?
Maybe they did.
I mean, maybe they did. Maybe they told Jalen.
He's almost their franchise player at this point, which is wild to say, but that's sad. Where the franchise is right now. Although he did have a 50-piece late in the season, so good for him, I guess. But
maybe they told Jalen Green, and then Jalen Green told Kevin Porter Jr. That might make some sense. I don't know. That just seems like, just keep your mouth shut, you know? Like, don't go promising anybody anything.
Yeah, seriously. But maybe sometimes, you know, you have to make some promises to get people to even come in to work out and stuff like that. So you never know with these things. Kate, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on. Obviously, you're a fixture on the live call-in shows with me and Josh. But, you know, we have to call the ISO sometimes. We have to clear out.
Yeah, anytime. I'm the off-season ISO. I'm happy to do it, William. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is twice you've called me by the full first name. Which
we're
now at the
we're coming full circle. We're coming full circle. This is the formal wrap down. You know, I just thought that it was a callback. You know.
Yeah. Oh, actually, one thing I originally wanted to do is a Stanley suggestion, because I see you putting good suggestions on the timeline, so I feel like you probably have something good. I have not left my house in the last few days outside of going to IKEA in Vaughn, so not much suggesting going on. I feel like the IKEA hot dogs, even though they're a dollar or whatever, didn't hit the same way as they did when I was like 10 years old. I was like really excited to have that, but it turns out that hot dog is super nasty. So definitely,
do you remember that lingonberry drink at that's my favorite thing at Costco for sure, is the lingonberry drink.
Yeah.
Are you gonna get a lingonberry drink?
Exactly. No, you would need to be in some sort of Scandinavian context, which I was thinking the other day about which country had the worst cuisine. Like which country that has actual restaurants that you can commonly visit has the worst cuisine. And it really,
what'd you come up with?
My personal opinion, it was either like English cuisine, British cuisine, or Scandinavian cuisine.
I mean, pub food kind of can hit, but like
German cuisine is also somewhere in that mix. That's the top three for me. Well, I guess the bottom three.
I mean, are you gonna say no to it, like a Wiener Schnitzel though? Like everybody loves schnitzel.
Probably not. You're right.
Everybody loves schnitzel and spätzle, and I can't ever say that word. And like Germans have a couple of delicious, you know, kind of, I think there's gems to find in everything, but I don't think you're wrong. Those Nordic cuisines, like there's not much to work with. They've got weird daylight hours that's going on. They eat a lot of duck and pheasant.
I like duck. So I'm still going to go with England as the number one in the reverse power puffin. Rankings. Okay.
there's a very famous chef that is of a Nordic cuisine night.
Rene Magnus.
Oh. No, that's Noma. He is as well, but sort of even further more Scandinavian is this guy, Magnus Carlsen, I think is his name. And he's on one of those. So Magnus Nielsen, maybe then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carlsen is the chess player.
Right.
Anyway, he's on one of those. He's on one of the chef's tables, and he's got this cookbook, and I got it as a gift, and it's full of stuff that you'll never be able to make in a million years because we just don't have the ingredients.
You're not going to go out and get lingonberries at Food Basics?
No, can't get the lingonberries. Can't get the, you know, the funny pheasant bird that is only available on one island in the entire world.
That's fair enough.
So my Stanley suggestion, what's your Stanley suggestion? Going to Costco?
No. What is my Stanley suggestion? Honestly, you know, just listen to Dishes and Dimes. I was halfway through listening to their most recent episode, and it was quite good. So I'm going to finish listening to that after this. What else? What have I eaten? Anything good recently? Favorites Barbecue. It's pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah.
That place is great.
Yeah, it's got some pretty good curries.
I love that place.
I think it's Thai or Indo. I'm sorry. I feel like it's Thai. It's Thai. Okay,
it's
good.
It's Thai. Yeah.
Don't want to confuse the two. Very different cultures, but food somewhat similar. Anyway, your Stanley suggestion.
I mean, okay, so if getting out is your jam, oh God, getting out, what's that like? I'll come back to that. My indoor Stanley suggestion, and you've made fun of this for me before, but I'm really pushing it on all platforms.
Is it the driving again?
Watch Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix. I swear to you, it's more exciting than you think it is. I know. William,
that's a hell of a way to sell the thing, man.
Well, you said I don't want to.
You got to tell me the wingspan of the cars. You got to come on, tell me the wingspan of the car. Tell me
I believe the cars are 2 meters wide.
Okay.
Listen, it's extremely fun. It's exciting. It's like if you took the best, most dramatic, like, I don't really watch this, but Real Housewives, you took the drama and like interpersonal relationships of something like a Real Housewives, and you combined it with like some sort of all access pass, like behind the scenes look, like open gym, except they're not political. They're very anti-political. In fact, they're just like, no, I hate this guy, and this is why. Like they will just lay it all out there for you. It is fascinating. Mm-hmm. And Formula One is more dramatic than I ever thought. And okay. I went from, you know, zero to not to be too punny about it, but I went from zero to 350. On Formula One, it's exciting. And there's a burgeoning group of Raptors Twitter Formula One fans. Join us. It's fun. It's exciting. Yeah. On Sunday mornings, there's nothing else to do. So
what do you mean?
Watch Formula One, Drive to Survive.
That's when soccer happens. The Premier League is coming back in like
right now?
A month. In like a month.
Oh.
I mean, right now, people are doing, like, I don't know, Olympics?
Anyway, that's my Stanley suggestion for inside. For outside, I mean, I don't know, man. Just get back out, go to a restaurant, sit on a patio. Personal favorite of mine is El Rey up in Kensington. They make great tacos, have great margaritas, sit in the sun, and see a friend that you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, there's probably lots of those. Yeah, cool.
That's it.
It's pretty good. All right, Kate. I appreciate you coming on. What is there anything else you'd like to plug or follow Kate on Twitter at Kate B Doll? And
that's me.
Yeah. What else? What else you got?
Always follow Dishes and Dimes. If you're not following, if you're not listening, absolutely. That's the only other plug that I've got. Follow all the great women. If I say all their names, I'm going to forget one, so I won't. Just follow at Dishes and Dimes, and then follow every one of their handles.
Look at you contributing to erasure. All right, continue.
Well, I just don't want, there's seven of them, and I know I'm going to forget someone. So, Sandy Amon, Noor, Kelsey, Katie, and C.
Wow.
Oh, God. I'm sorry for whoever I forgot.
Did you say Sidra?
Sidra. Thank you.
Wow. Sidra. Wow. Wow. See?
God. This is why I didn't want to do it, Will. You really put me on the spot.
Well, you know, this is what I choose to entertain myself with. It's making people uncomfortable.
Follow every single one of them. Make sure to support them on every channel.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So thanks everyone for listening. In terms of the podcast, so if you haven't already, listen to the Canada Basketball Olympic Basketball Reaction Podcast. I don't have a name for it, but it's a reaction podcast for the women's Olympic basketball team. They're making I guess they're trying to get their first medal. I don't know if it's first medal, but last few years they've been getting out in the quarterfinals.
I think they medaled 4 or 8 years ago. I think they did, didn't they?
They were out in the quarters the last two Olympic runs. Mm-hmm. How they did before that, I really don't know. But in any case, yeah, I mean, they played a really good game against Serbia. Well, not really good game. They played half a really good game against Serbia, forced 28 turnovers, somehow lost the game, felt Raptors-esque in a way. I have to say it was a little disappointing to watch, but that's been really fun, so check out that. On Wednesday, I'm going to do another rumor roundup because these rumors continue to pop up at an absurd rate, so look out for a podcast on Wednesday. The draft is happening Thursday. A reaction pod is coming out that night. And on Friday, I'm hoping to get a draft analyst to come on to tell you why the Raptors had a really successful draft night and give you a sense of who these players are. So there's going to be tons of content, as you would expect here. And thanks everyone for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.